Well, good evening, church. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church on a beautiful Sunday evening. Hope everyone's had a good evening. And as always, we start our service off with a song to the Lord. If you grab your hymnals, let's sing number 516, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder." Let's all stand and sing.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and the saved of earth shall gather all upon the ocean, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, chosen one shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called.
Too good together, wasn't it? Good evening, everybody. It's good to see all of you tonight. If you're watching by Facebook or listening on the radio, I'm thankful that you've allowed the Lord to lead you to us. And I believe that God has brought you here, and we don't take it for granted or believe that it's by chance that we're together. And if you have any prayer needs, you can text them to us on Facebook, or maybe give us a call and leave it on the answer machine, and we'll make a promise that we'll do our best to lift it up. But do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. And what a sweet, sweet service we had. I know we had at least three different visitors, family-wise, and we had over 95 in our worship today. I mean, just glory to God, right? Amen. Glory to God. Any other words of praise or testimony tonight?
I'm thankful
you
what? I'm
thankful I could get it. Oh, you was able to get it?
Yes.
I thought you was here.
No.
Anyone else? All right. I'm going to give you a choice tonight. The 23rd Psalm or the armor of the Lord? Which one? What y'all want to talk about? 23rd Psalm? All right. So be turning to the 23rd Psalm. But what I didn't tell you is you have to do the teaching. You have to do the expounding on the word tonight. It has been a beautiful day. I was kindly scared when I come out the house this morning because it felt like winter had come back. But it warmed up, a beautiful day. And I tell you what, it's just wonderful being downstairs with those Awana youngins. And I don't know how many they have tonight, but it was 42 last Sunday night. So that means we had close to 70 people here on a Sunday evening. Now, I know we ain't where we used to be, but that's a blessing. That is amazing. How many churches, one, even have their doors open on Sunday nights anymore, and then are blessed by God to say they had 70 people there? That is all God. Amen. Amen. And I truly believe, as we talked this morning, churches are closing down all over the place. And as long as we'll stay the course, as we see babies being born, couples being married, we just got to keep the ministries going. Because what's going to happen is 3 or 4 years, as those families grow, they're going to want to be where we're ministering to the children, to the teens, and all that. And God is establishing us for the future right now. So, to God be the glory. Before we do go into our Bible study tonight, we do want to remind you that after service, there is the church council meeting, and then tomorrow night, deacons, if you can make it at 6 o'clock, we'll be having our monthly deacons meeting. And also, before we do our study, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. And the number one, always, is those that don't know Jesus Christ. You know, everything else is temporal except for eternity. And I was talking with Brother Keith, I think, this morning. And, you know, even when you walk into nursing homes, you see the lady sitting there with her white hair and in their wheelchair and the gentleman, and they just look like sweet old people. But the majority of them are going to die and go to hell too. And they need witnessing too. So then it was good to see Sister Bridget this morning, but we want to continue to pray for her knee and other situations in her life. Do we have any prayer needs tonight? Yeah. And yes, sir. She break anything? Anyone else? You talked to Sister Molly and her. How'd her church visit go today?
Good.
Good deal. Good deal. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Let's continue. I've got her right here, but Sister Peggy, she's mending. There's pain and everything, but we want to pray for her. And then my mother will be having hers in 2 weeks. So we want to continue to lift her up. It's good to have Brother Mark and Sister Jenny and Sister Jenny's mama with us. Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis, want to continue to pray for them. Denise Mosher, Mr. Leonard and Sister Nancy Roten, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, her brother, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky, Chris Harmon, Eddie and Michelle Bishop, Colt Addison, Shirley Bledsoe. Good to see Chris this morning, but we'll continue to pray for Sister Caitlin and that precious baby. Lottie Johnson, Sister Molly has been lifted up. Moselle Carter, Helen Bowen, Lydia Hensley, Moni Robbins, Caleb and Leah Richardson, Terry Hall, Junior Hill. Who? Junior Hill? He passed away, didn't he? I thought so. Donna Campbell, Amanda Campbell, Linda Phillips, Kay and Fuller Russell, Charlie Taylor, Fred and Shirley Sullivan, Peggy Stollard, Tom Sparks, Jim Smith, Rick Sawyers, Charlie Moore, Michelle Miller, Bo Griffin, Joyce Smith, Steve Neff, Steve Gunner, Patsy Scarupa, Roger Solis, Lynn Baez, Linda Phillips, Johnny Stale, Jeanette Brogan, TVBC and our ministries, and just how we move forward, struggling homes and marriages. And, you know, like we said this morning, marriage is the fundamental block of a stable society, and the home is the next building block, and the devil is wreaking havoc in that arena. Our nations and our leaders, remember our shut-ins, and again, the lost and the backslidden. And then Jim Smith and Brenda. Anyone else tonight? We'll do it if I can see him. I just found out about an 11-year-old that is looking it up on his Chromebook, how to kill himself. There's a spirit over us right now. And, it, there's been more suicides than usual since Christmas, New Year's, to this, and it's been the young ones. Anyone else? Thank you, sister. Bro? Amen. How many of us have unspoken tonight? How many of us have a prayer that's been answered today? Amen. God is faithful. Anybody else? Brother Keith, do you mind leading us in a word of prayer? And we remind you that the altar is open. And do pray for my leg right now. Yes, Jesus. Amen. All right, Psalms 23. Psalms 23. Now, I have a New King James. How many different translations we have in here tonight? Has anybody got King James? You got a King James? New American Standard? ESV? Because what I would like to do is I would like to go verse by verse, then let's read it from a different translation, and then let's discuss not what it means to us, not what it makes us feel, but what is the fundamental one truth that we can, that verse is trying to pass to us, okay? I'll read it all at once, and then we'll break it down, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and as we said this morning, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. All right. Somebody, Sister Donna, and what did you have, Sister? You got a King James and you got the one ESV, and what did you have, Sister? Yeah, okay. Well, let's go with Sister Pansy, then Sister Donna, and then you, Ken. All right, read the first verse.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Sister Donna? All of it's the same? Okay, so as we look at this verse, the Lord is trying to teach us something like this morning, right? He uses the, when we studied this morning, he used the relationship of the husband and the wife, the bride and the groom, to show us how much he loves the church. And in that relationship, as we grow in the relationship with our spouse, we begin to understand the love that Christ has. So when he talks about that the Lord is our shepherd, and I shall not want. What's the two main characters there in that verse then? There's the shepherd. And while it's not mentioned, who would be the other one? The sheep. If you have a shepherd, yeah, then you've got to have a sheep. Now, does anybody know much about a sheep? What? They are dumb. As what I've been told is that they are very dumb. What do you know, brother?
They had sheep, and his job as a young boy was to make sure the sheep was in the fold, in the shelter, and he passed them up. But he said he was talking about in the sermon, sheep are not very smart, kind of like me.
Amen. Like me, I know all about you. Anybody else? Just plain ignorant, you know, is what it is. But JC, anything you can tell us about a sheep? Just not strong. Well, I've read, and I could be wrong, and if I am, tell me, that a sheep will eat in the same spot until the grass is gone and just continue to eat in that spot unless they are led into another field or they're led to a greener pasture. Has anybody ever heard that? So he's our shepherd. The shepherd's duty is what? What do you have to do for your sheep, Brother JC? Any and everything? And make sure everything in their life is took care of. And that's the idea that there's nothing that you allow your sheep to go lacking in, right? You make sure everything's took care of. How are we like sheep then? One thing is that we're not very wise at times. You know, we as human beings, the crazy thing is that we'll do things over and over again expecting a different result. When isn't that the definition of insanity? To do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. But also, we are susceptible. Like Brother JC was saying about the sheep, there are so many things around us that we don't even recognize that could kill us, that could harm us, that is a detriment to our health, not just physically, but to our relationship and our with Christ and our spiritual health as well. I mean, think about this. Today, as you've rode on the road, how many impaired people by drugs, alcohol, or whatever do you think you've passed? I mean, at least probably 30 to 40%, I'd say, that somehow, some way. So I'm seeing that more and more, yep. Okay, so let's take that to the spiritual, right? There's a realm that we are not supposed to see in. But the Bible makes it clear that there are principalities and powers that are in places all around us. How many times today do you think that the devil has tried to harm you, has tried to wound you spiritually, physically, or whatever, but the shepherd has been on watch? Do y'all remember the cartoons of the shepherd dog and the Wile E. Coyote? Y'all remember that? Yeah, man. That, you remember he'd grab Wile E. and he'd boom, pop him in the head every time. And then they'd go to the clock and he'd check out. But here's what's funny. Did the sheep ever notice it? Were the sheep ever mindful that the coyote was after them, but they had a watchman that was looking out for them? Why? Because the shepherd and the sheepdog were making sure there was nothing lacking. And we have a heavenly Father, and we're ignorant of the situations that are around us much of the time. But our Father makes sure. All right, let's do the next one. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Any of y'all different? Go ahead, Sister Donna. I know a little bit about the water issue, but the green pastures, has anybody ever did any study on that, the need or why the shepherd takes them into green pastures? Yeah, who wants to eat brown grass, right? The greener the grass, the more nutrients that's there, and the better off health-wise, fed-wise, all that. I mean, the idea here is that he has given me the best of any nutrients that there is, right? The idea of the waters. Now, I've been told that a sheep will not drink out of fast-flowing water. Do you know anything about that? Do you? Do they? Fast-flowing, you know, that more of a rapid type, you know, setup, that they need to have a pond type setting or something. Anybody else? Does anybody know if a sheep can swim? I don't know. I mean, as a child, we had a family reunion at Lawrence Walker State Park, and it's this big old park, dark brown water and all that, but I couldn't swim. And my daddy told me to stay away from the edge of that thing, but I guess what I did? I got on that edge, and I remember going down in that water, and I knew I couldn't swim, and, you know, I was scared, but all of a sudden, I felt something grab the back of my shirt and pulled me back up out of that, and Daddy, who had told me not to go down there, was there to pull me out of it. And anyone got a thought on the best of nutrients, but also at the same time giving me a place to where I don't have to fear the water, I don't have to fear the situation? Verse 3, he restores my soul. Anybody got anything different there? That I think that's the key point there. You know, we have the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional. The physical is the body. The spiritual is usually more of the eternal aspect. And then the soul is kind of the heart, the emotional thing right here. And, you know, those sheep, he would lead them from one field to another field, from here to there. And they would probably get wore out. They would probably get run down. And the more they would get run down, the sicklier they would become. And so it's vital that he makes sure that we are taken care of spiritually. That we're healthy. The Lord has really put this in my path this week. And, you know, Jesus, when he commanded, you remember, he commanded the disciples to go out two by two over, I think it is, in Matthew chapter 11. And after they went out, they had this wonderful time. They were healing people. They were casting out demons. But when they come back together and they'd heard everything, you know what he told them? He said, come away. Come away. He was telling them, you need to be restored. Your strength needs to be restored. And remember when we talked about depression? You remember what Elijah, when he went from being on top of the mountain with the prophets of Baal and casting them down, and then the next thing you see, he's running for his life from Jezebel. Remember, there were three areas. He was hungry, he was physically tired, and he was emotionally and spiritually drained. And the Lord took him out into the wilderness so that he could restore him. How many of you right now need to be restored, maybe spiritually? Amen. 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 How about physically? Brother Martin says, amen. Brother Martin says, Jenny, they're getting restored. They're ready. We're still going to keep them in that corner, though. I'm cutting up. Any other thoughts on the... Okay, let's go into, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, what's neat there to me is this. It doesn't say that he's getting them in the right places for them, does it? He's getting them to the green grass. He's getting them to the still waters. He's making sure that they're being restored, they're being strengthened. But why? And he's getting them in the right places. But why is he doing it? For his name's sake. Exactly. He is their shepherd. When people come around and they look at those sheep, they're going to be judging him by the way he's taking care of those sheep. They're going to be looking at them. And so he's doing everything he can to present the sheep prim and proper. And now think about that. The glory of the Lord, meaning his shine, is to be revealed where? In our lives. That's why he does, you know, the Bible says that he has prepared a way for us. You know, and he has an end. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think for you. I know, you know why? Because his reputation is on us. That's another reason why. Folks, when he saves you, you're saved, brother. You're saved, sister. He doesn't do it halfway. Why? Because it's his name. It's his reputation. And you know, sometimes I think we forget that. We make things all about us, don't we? We are so, what is it? When you're crazy like that, narcissist. We are a narcissist society. What is the most, and I've asked you this before, but what is the number one picture that's took every day?
Selfie.
It blows my mind that I go to my mama's house and she has books, you know, the portrait books, right? Where you've went to Olin Mills, you've went to these places. There is no Olin Mills anymore. When they tried to get the church directory, there are no real photographers much anymore. Why? Because we just, I mean, our children's whole lives will be on record or on picture or whatever. So he does it for his name's sake. And really and truly, we're to live our lives for the same purpose, right? We're to live our lives for his glory. This verse 4 I use in a lot of funerals. Really and truly, I've never, until I became pastor up here, very often at the graveside, Psalms 23 is read, but that wasn't the where I was from in Georgia, that wasn't. But up here, that's pretty regular, you know, they read it. But verse 4, read it for me, Sister Pansy. Okay, basically this is three sections, right? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's one. And then I will fear no evil. Two, for thou art with me, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Would anybody just be honest in here tonight and say you're scared of death? And I'll be honest with you, it's at times. You understand what I'm saying? I go through seasons. I go through issues. When I was sitting there in the car that night and the wreck and all that, really wasn't that bad. But I got serious with God before that went on. And then, but then there's other nights that I'm laying in the bed and I've not thought about death. There's been nothing there. I ain't thought about it in a week or two, but then all of a sudden. And what happens? Dear Lord Jesus, if I ain't saved in this moment, Lord, I just make sure I'm saved. Because if I close my eyes and I die, I want to make sure that everything's right with you. But let's look at this. What is a shadow? It is when an object comes between you and the source of light, right? You know, it's, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but those lights on that bottom down there, it is like daytime when you come up here at night now. I mean, you can do shadow puppets on the wall with the way that is. But as a boy, I remember shadows, you know, on the door, shadows outside the window, and it would cause fear in me. But here's the thing. When the object, and see, that's what happens in death. We have the sun, right, the source of our light, and then we have us, and we have to pass through the unknown, right? But let me ask you this. What can a shadow do to you? What power does a shadow have unless we give it? Yea, though I walk in this valley, and there are shadows of death all around me, I don't have to fear. Why? Because they have no power. The source, the light, is still there. Did y'all talk about John the Baptist in y'all Sunday school this morning? Remember how when he's at the Jordan, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, right? But when he's in the jailhouse, are you him or should I look for another? The position changed his perspective, right? Where he was at made him look at things different. But the thing is, the same Jesus who was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, it was the same Jesus when he was sitting down in the valley. And this is what's true. We have a shepherd who not only carries us in the valley, he carries us through the valley, but many times, and this is, I think we miss this, many times it's in the dark places where God is found. You know that? It's in the dark times, the difficult times. It's not when you're on the mountain peak and it's there and everything's rosy and good. Remember, Jesus was led into the wilderness by who? By the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now, Satan was there when he got there, but it was the Lord. Just like, you know, Jesus was being led through the valley, but he didn't have to fear any evil. Does anybody know how the rod and the staff bring comfort? Mm-hmm. Good deal. Did I hear somebody over here? It is. I've seen pictures or images of when they would be in like a cavernous area or a, you know, where it would be, and the crook on the end of the hook that they would reach down and were able to hook it and bring it up. But then I was also, now tell me if y'all have heard this before, that if the sheep will not follow the master's lead, the shepherd's lead, and he wanders off and he goes off, I've heard and read that the shepherd would break one of the legs of the sheep and then take the sheep and carry it for days. He would set the leg and carry the sheep for days. But in that is when the sheep learn to trust the master's voice. And it, you know, you take, how would you break it leg? You put it in the crook of the staff. And have any of y'all ever heard that one? Is it true? I would think it is. All right. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now remember, he began by saying, I don't want for anything. But here he's saying, at the end of verse 5, he's saying, hey, I'm bountiful blessed. It's just that I'm not wanting, but I've got more than I need. I've got more. But anybody got any thoughts on the idea of the preparing the table in the presence of the enemy? Anybody ever heard any teaching on that one? I'm going to tell you what. To set up, when you're eating, your defenses are down most of the time, right? I mean, you're not thinking, most of us don't got a pistol in one hand and a bologna sandwich in the other. That just ain't how it happens, right? Your senses are a little dulled. Your focus is somewhere else. And you're not at fighting level. To be able to do that, what does it take? A lot of confidence in the one that you're put your trust in. And you think about it. The Bible teaches us that the enemy is always around us. There is never a time where the maybe Satan, but I'm going to tell you, the older I get, the more I realize my flesh and my mental, my mind is definitely an enemy to me and to my walk with the Lord. Okay? The idea of the anointing of the head. I don't think it's just simply a spiritual thing right here, do you? I mean, we know that oil is a medicinal thing. And from what I've read, flies pester the sheep constantly. I know, you know how they do with a cow in the summertime? I mean, they just stay on the cow's head. But the fly for a sheep, what I've read, is that they can get in the nose of the sheep, and it, not only will it pester them, but it can cause, like you're saying, sickness and things like that. And the idea of the anointing is to keep the flies, to keep the bugs, to keep the germs away. You know, like we will take, when we have chapped lips or we have a fever blister, what do we put on it? Wax and oil, basically an oil, and that helps defend from any germs or anything like that. And so what I think here we're seeing is another, you know, he's taking care of him. He's making sure he's fed. He's making sure he's healthy. And he's making sure that he's not going to be sick. Any other thoughts on the idea of the anointing the head with oil? I just talked with somebody before I come up here. That was the next place. It is the picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit around me. You know, in James, when it says, if any man be sick among you, let him call upon the elders of the church, let him confess their sins, and be anointed with the oil. Now, I don't think that there's any magical powers in that oil. Do y'all? But I do think, one, it's an act of faith, right? If God said it, I may not understand it, but I'm going to do it. Number two, the Holy Spirit brings healing. And as we take that oil and we anoint the woman, we anoint the man, I recommended to the individual I was telling a while ago about the 11-year-old that was considering suicide, anoint the bed, anoint the doorpost, anoint the windows, everything. Go in that room and plead the blood of Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that that's what it, like Brother Frank's saying, I believe it's the, look, we had a church member that, whether it was real or not, felt that there was demonic influences coming in their home. And we anointed that house. We anointed the entrances. We anointed everything. And you know what? They had peace for a month or so. And we'd have to do it again. Was something spiritual going on there? Yeah, there was a spiritual battle going on there. Do I believe there was haints and haunts and spirits in there? Don't know about that. But I know that the devil and the flesh was wreaking havoc on that individual. And acting in faith brought peace. So, any other thoughts there? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When you say the word surely, what are you trying to get across? A confident, right? Yeah, there's an assurance. Yeah, you're confident. I know. There's a lot of stuff we don't know, right? I mean, the way the world is right now, that we don't have much control and we don't know much. But he says this, I know goodness. Goodness is going to be with me always. And I know that mercy is going to be with me. I want to tell you what, when you walk out the house every morning, if you know you got those two things on your side, I mean, you start the day better than most. Amen? Goodness is with me and mercy with me. Not justice, not wrong or hate, but goodness and mercy. Sir? Amen. Amen. You know what Randall Gunner calls them right there? Goodness and mercy? The hound dogs of heaven. He says that no matter where I go, the hound dogs of heaven are always chasing me. I mean, that's pretty doggone. I don't hear them barking much, but I mean, just the fact that they're there. He goes on and he says, they are going to be with me all the days of my life, but is it going to stop there? No, this is going to carry on. And that's what he means. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And we talked about it this morning, and I just couldn't get peace about it, but I want us to move into the spiritual gifts. But instead of just going into the spiritual gifts, I think we need to go back to the Spirit himself. You know, I want us to look back at his role in the Old Testament. We don't think a lot about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's role in the Old Testament, but he was very active. I mean, from Genesis chapter 1, right? It was the Spirit that moved, that was in action. And when we understand the role of the Spirit, and now think about it. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was active, but it was more at a distance to the people of the covenant, right? You had a few prophets and different things like that. But now, in this covenant, we have the very presence of God with every believer. And so we've moved that. And we've moved in relation to our God where it was more. And remember, the veil rent in the temple from top to bottom. That is the aspect. That's a change from one covenant to another where it was at a distance. The relationship was at a distance. Now, in the new covenant, we have God himself dwelling with us. But now think about this. When the Holy Spirit moved in, he came. It was foretold by the prophets that it was coming in Ezekiel. It was declared and foretold by Jesus himself that he's going to come in and he's going to guide us in truth. He's going to teach us of Christ. But then, when the Spirit moved in, he brought in something that was not in our life already. Now, we know eternal life, right? I mean, he moves in there. But the spiritual gift, right? This is something that we didn't have before Jesus came into our life. I'll be honest with you. I would not be standing up in front of people before. If it was a science project and you had to give an oral report to make an A, just give me a C and we'll be okay, right? And even now, y'all know this. If I ain't preaching, I don't do too good at explaining. I mean, that's just, I don't have that gift. God, that's not a part of it. And the same is true for you. If you know Jesus Christ, and that when, like when we're talking here and we're moving in, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. You're in the presence of God no matter where you're at because He's living inside of you. But I want us, as we're moving in and we're moving on, to be able to not only know our spiritual gift, but to be able to help others pull their spiritual gifts out. How many of you right now, and we'll wrap up here on the 24, Psalms 23. How many of you right now know at least one spiritual gift that you have? Would you be willing to say it? Faith. What, say, Sister Donna?
Faith.
Faith?
Discernment.
Brother Otis?
Love.
Now, did y'all have that before you were saved? Were those things evident in your life before you came to Christ? Well, then that's not a spiritual gift. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you had it and then... Now, maybe you had something similar. Maybe you had the force. You know, something like the force. Anybody else? Brother Frank?
Administration.
Anybody else? Mine is preaching. There's not a question. And that's about the only one I got. I'll leave it there. Anybody else? Anybody? Is there anybody here that wants to know what their spiritual gift is? Amen. There we go. Anybody? Nobody else? You're not curious? Let me ask you this. If you knew what it was, will you use it? Oh, how you know?
Glad you asked.
Glad you asked. Glad you asked. Let me ask you this. You like youngins? You like youngins? You like kids? You reckon that maybe your gift might be love, caring, caretaking? You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest with you. I like youngins, but I won't change no diaper. I mean, that's just the way I am. I'll tell you something else. Don't trust me with your money. Because I'll give it all away. Ask my wife. I'll just give everything away. I have the gift of giving. That's what it is. There's a lot of people. And this is this way. If you've been saved more than 10 or 15 years, and you've not got to a place where you're at least curious about your spiritual gift, you're stunted in your growth as a Christian. This is bottom line. And then, if you know or have an idea of what your spiritual gift is, but are not engaging with it, well then, you're living in sin. Right? To them that know to do good and doeth not, it is sin. But here's the thing. Here's what's awesome. It doesn't matter what we did yesterday. We can't help that. Really, we don't even need to worry about that because it's gone. All we can do is go ahead. And that's what's going to be so awesome about as we move ahead, because I believe we're going to see people doing things that we would have never imagined them doing, they would have never imagined them doing, but it's God that's doing it through them. That's wonderful.
Any other thoughts on the Psalms 23 or the spiritual gifts?
Church, because people will come up to you. You say,
those around you the ability to see how he's working in you and through you. When you go to a doctor or you go to a new job and you don't know the skills that you need, what do? You have to trust those that's been put around you until you become more aware of how it works and all that. And that's the same thing with the spiritual gifts. Now, he will take natural talents, things that's been there, and he can empower them through the... I was cutting up with Ken. But he will use, but use it in a way that you'd never imagine. When I was running from the call to preach, me and Amy had been married. We'd been living on love, all that stuff. I was back building houses and stuff like that. And I may have told you this, but one morning I did one of the honey dips, right? This right here. Look down, and a running from the calling to be a preacher, and a honey dip Jonah. Now, that's the Holy Ghost, number one. Then I go to the bank. If you've ever been down to Boone's, right there at the Kentucky line, going from Virginia to Kentucky, there's a beer store right there, and there was a bank right there. And I went there to take, I had to cash a check, and I went through the drive-thru, and that woman looked at me, and she said, "I know I don't know you, but the Lord told me to tell you, you're supposed to be pulling them out, not letting them pull you back in." Now, if you really want God to use you and speak to you, he'll do it, buddy. But then what you going to do after he does it? Any thoughts before we close out? Don't forget our council meeting. Any prayer? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, if they get down, if they get into a certain position, they can't. I was told they can't get back up, too. Is what I've been told, or what it is. But like the general starting point is that a sheep is dumb, and a sheep doesn't have sense to look out for itself. That without the shepherd, it's not going to end well, right? Yeah. And that's the beautiful picture. You remember when Jesus said, "I have others that are not of my flock, but they hear my voice." And the picture there is that the flock that I believe he's talking about there is the Jews, right? I mean, he's got that Jews. But after the Jews reject him, he's going to other flocks, Gentiles, Egyptians, Romans, all that. When they hear the voice, when they hear the gospel, they respond. They come in. And like you're saying, that they can remember, they have that sense. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, you'll freeze up. I had a teacher one time. He had never met my daddy. And one day, I was in class, and he said, "Does your daddy walk down so-and-so street every night and do all that?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "But why yes?" He said, "Because I could tell he was your daddy by the way he walked." How awesome is that? That people could look at me, and because of the same stride, they knew who my daddy was. That's what we're to strive for with Christ, isn't it? That our life so much resembles his life that the world around us will look at us and say, "I know who your father is." Anyone else before we close? Any prayer needs?
Thank you.
mm-hmm. and his South Signs of Life.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. The closer we get to the Antichrist and to the tribulation, there's going to be worse and worse diseases, worse and worse sicknesses, worse and worse addictions, you know. And I believe that it's going to get to a point that the only help that can be found will be in the house of God. That I think that's how, you know, we're praying for that great revival, that great awakening at the end. I believe that God will, we're going to see some hard times, but we're going to see some amazing things as well, like you're talking about. Billy Cody. How old is he?
Old Cubby.
Cubby.
She didn't say.
But you can multiply that over and over. Anyone else? All right. Brother Frank. Sister Susan, what was that name of the quorum corner? Connor?
S-O-W.
Brother Frank, would you close us out?